Having said that, find Joshua 1 and Hebrews 11. Let me get out of this hole in which I've dug. Joshua 1, Hebrews chapter number 11. I want to let you know that my father-in-law and mother-in-law are seated right down here next to my wife, Pastor Orville Theaker, and my mother-in-law, Beverly. If you have not met them and you're new to the church, I would highly recommend you come by and greet them and shake their hand. And it's just a joy to have them from northern Michigan. And it's cold to me outside, but I think they brought the cold, didn't they? I know they didn't bring the sunshine, so I don't know where that came from here. But it's such a delight to have him. I'm trying to twist his arm into preach Sunday night, so you'll find out which one of us wins when you come Sunday night. And we'll see where that goes. We have been studying the book of, well, actually, we're making our way, and next week we will begin Joshua chapter number 1. We have spent the last few weeks looking at the man Joshua, what a great and godly man he is and was, and how God had used him in such a marvelous way. And I don't want to take the time to rehash all that in review. I'll just say that we know him to be a great warrior. We know him to have seen tremendous victory. When you think about the book Joshua, you will think about the word victory. We found last week that basically, Joshua was just simply a man like you and I, just simply a normal man that was born, but he was a man that was spirit-filled. He was a man that had God's spirit upon him, and God was able to use that, and God was able to use his willingness and his submissiveness in a great and mighty way. And we talked about sometimes we get a little bit overwhelmed with the people in the Bible, and we think that we get this, I call it biblical mindset, where everything is so out of proportion or out of our reach, and yet we don't think that the biblical truths that took place here are practical and available for our own lives. But we need to just remember that Jesus said he was the same yesterday, today, and how long? Forever. And so the same God that was with Joshua, who was the same God that was with Moses, is the same God that is with you and I. And so it's not beyond his ability to use us. He's looking for men and women that would be willing to be filled with the Spirit of God, submit themselves to the hand of God, be obedient to God, and God will use you. And I hope and pray you have a desire to be used by God. I really do have a desire to be used by God. I want God to be able to use me for his glory. We said that one of the attributes that Joshua had as a man filled with the Spirit of God was that he followed God. And he was simply a man that was filled and he followed. He did what God wanted him to do. And so as we move toward the book of Joshua, we are going to see how God used him for tremendous victory for the nation of Israel as they were able to gain the inheritance of the land. And I'll show you in a little bit how God was able to use Joshua to divide that land. And our study theme has been that we too or also can live victorious lives. Listen, we can live victorious life because the Lord Jesus lives, amen? He's alive today. And so I want you to know victory in your Christian life. I want you to know growth in your Christian life. I want you to know success in your Christian life. There's no reason for us to be defeated. There's no reason for us to be burdened down. There's no reason for us to suffer or to not have the joy of the Lord. For God has enabled us to have great victory. And that doesn't mean our lives are all piece of cake. It doesn't mean that our lives are all easy. Doesn't mean that we won't have hard times. Doesn't mean that we won't suffer hardships or trials or tests. We will go through those things. But we have the same promise that God gave Joshua last week. And God told Joshua through the lips of Moses that he would never leave us nor forsake us. Now, my Bible students will know that that's not just an Old Testament verse. We also find that same promise in the New Testament, do we not? Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. God says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, and that he will be with us so that we can boldly say that we'll not fear what man can do unto us. So we have the same promised presence with us that God has. By the way, Do you not enjoy when you sense the presence of God? Do you ever spend enough time with Him when you just know He's there? A songwriter said, He walks with me. He talks with me. You don't see Him physically with your eye, or you don't necessarily audibly hear Him with your ear, but there is that ministry of agreement between the Spirit of God and my spirit. And when I got saved, my spirit was quickened or made alive, which enabled me to communicate with God. And there is that ministry of fellowship that takes place. And I'll tell you, once you've experienced it, you long for it every day. And what a joy and blessing it is. So before we go into the study of Joshua, I want to spend just a little bit of time tonight giving you five kind of things to remember as we study this book. And I hope you got a pen, because I want you to write these down. Five truths, I've entitled this, for victory in the land of Canaan. Five truths for victory in the land of Canaan. Now, it is imperative as you study the book of Joshua that you understand what Canaan is. Sometimes people want to have their definition of Canaan totally consumed with the idea of heaven. Canaan is not just heaven. It's not heaven. Yes, there may be a bit of heaven there. Yes, there are glimpses of heaven. But if you were to read and study heaven, you would find that there are no battles in heaven. There's no disappointments in heaven. There's no defeats in heaven. There's no sin in heaven. Those kind of things you did see in the land of Canaan through the nation of Israel. So if I just get my mind made up that Canaan is only heaven, I won't be able to understand the pathway to victory or experience the victory that God has for me. And Pastor, if Canaan is not heaven, then what is Canaan? Well, Canaan really is a description of the spirit-filled life, or you could say the Christian life. It is a land that is a land that was promised to the nation of Israel by God. It was a land that God would provide for them. It was a land where He would be their God. They would be His people. But it's not just consumed upon heaven. Now, it was different than the wilderness and crossing over the Jordan River. There's spiritual application there. But that Canaan land was a land of victory and an inheritance for the nation of Israel. And today we know that Christ is our inheritance. He's purchased for us an inheritance, and He is our victory. So there were some things, some truths that we discovered by the people of Israel in Canaan that will help us in our everyday life. And so I want you to write these down. I'm going to try to give them to you, all five of them, if I can, and for sake of time. Truth number one, when it comes in the land of Canaan, when we're talking about having victory in a victorious life, we must realize that faith is modus operandi in the land of Canaan. Faith is the principle of action. What we do for the Lord must be done on the principle of faith. Now, would you please finish this verse for me? It's in the book of Habakkuk. If I understand right, it's in the book of Romans. I think it's in the book of Galatians. It may even be in the book of Hebrews. I believe it is. The Bible says that the just shall live by what? By faith. All right? Now, a just man is a born-again, righteous man. There's only one man that can make us just. That's God. That's the Lord Jesus. God is the just. He is just and the justifier of men. But when I become born again a Christian, I'm justified in my standing before Almighty God. And so I'm made just. And one of the descriptions of godly people or born again people is that we are just. And the Bible says the just shall live by faith. So I am to live the Christian life. How? By what? By faith. In the land of Canaan, the nation of Israel was to operate by faith. They were not necessarily to go over there and gain victory for themselves. They were supposed to follow the Lord. The Lord said, I'm going to give you that victory. And in that land, they were to follow the Lord by faith. And if you read Hebrews chapter number 11, which we'll get to in just a little bit, you will see that many of the things and all the things that are accomplished were done by faith. And so in your spiritual life, in your Christian life, the modus operandi, or the principle I live by, is the principle of faith. Now, hold your hand in Joshua chapter 1. Go to Hebrews chapter number 11. I want to be able to help you a little bit with this understanding. Pastor, What is faith? And how is faith going to be significant or sufficient for us? Okay? I think you had better understand Hebrews chapter 11. I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 11 in verse number 1. We know this great chapter to be the chapter of faith or the hall of fame of faith. Verse number 1 gives us a description or a definition of what faith is. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Sometimes we think that faith is something intangible. It's something that is kind of mysterious. It's something that's kind of elusive. Those are not biblical definitions of faith. If you come back to verse number 1, the Bible says, now faith is the, what's the word? Substance. So faith is substantial. It's substantive. It's the assurance of those things hope for. It's not wishing upon a star. It's not some mysterious thing. It's not positive thinking. It's not positive energy. Faith is substance of things hoped for. It goes on further to say, it is the evidence of things or the proving of those things or the proof of things that are not seen. Just because things are not seen doesn't mean that they're not real. And faith receives those things as though they are real. And so it's very important that I understand that faith is not something that just is elusive. It's not mysterious. It's not weak. It's not some thought process. It is substantial in my life. Go to verse number 6 of chapter number 11. Here's how important it is. The Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Who's him? God. So faith is so important that without it, I cannot please God. Bible goes on further to say, whatsoever is not of faith is sin, but what without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, when the nation of Israel was going into the land of Canaan, God really wasn't excited about the walls of Jericho coming down. And you need to follow me on this. God really wasn't excited about what they were accomplishing. That really didn't please God. What really pleased and thrilled God's soul and thrilled God's heart and mind, was the fact that they were willing to follow him by faith. See, God looks at us and says, oh man, Tom, you're so worried about what you're going to accomplish. You're going to be so worried about all of this. You need to stop worrying about all that. I got this accomplished and I'm going to give it. You know what really thrills me? That you just believe me, that you just operate by faith. My following of faith is pleasing to the Lord, not my position. We think that we've got to arrive to some kind of spiritual position before we're pleasing to the Lord. My friend, that's not pleasing to the Lord. My faith, trusting him, is pleasing to the Lord. And so in the land of Canaan, God wanted the nation of Israel just to follow him. I'll show you that in just a moment. Pastor, what is faith? Now, go back to Joshua chapter number 1. There's all kinds of definitions on faith. There's all kinds of statements on faith. I'll give you what I believe is a good definition for faith. You may have another one. What does it mean to walk by faith? All right, here's the definition I'd like to give you. I believe it means this. It means taking God at his word. Faith is simply taking God at his word. Faith is not a leap in the dark hoping that things are going to work out. Faith is always done in the light. I'm going to say that again. Faith always takes place in the light. Now watch this. If I was to turn all the lights out in the building, we would have a very hesitant time finding our way out, and we would kind of move slow. God's not looking for faith to be done in the darkness of fear. He's not looking for faith to be done in the darkness of defeat or all that. Faith takes place in the light. Now, what light are we talking about? Well, Romans chapter 10, verse 17 tells me that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what, class? Word of God. So see, faith is not me just saying, oh God, please catch me. I want to take this step, please catch me. No. Faith is this. God, you said it in this book. I'm stepping on what you said, expecting you to handle it. That's faith. Faith is not filled with fear. Faith isn't done in the back of our mind or in some closet. It is trusting the word of God. Faith takes God at his word. You cannot divide faith and the word of God. Can't do it. Faith comes from the word of God. And so if I'm going to operate in faith, I'm going to operate according to the word of God. And when I operate according to the word of God, I'm going to operate in faith. I cannot divide. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 3. Look at this. This was the promise of the word that God gave to the nation of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So everywhere they were going to put their foot, God was going to give them that land. Now help me, please don't discourage me in front of my father-in-law. Please remember one thought, okay? One of the main reasons that the 10 spies that were afraid didn't want to go into the land was because there was what in the land? See, I'm doing a good job. All right, so they had giants in the land, and they didn't want to go. But God said, every place you put your foot, I'm going to give you that land. Well, God, there's giants in that land. I know, they're in my land, but it's my land. But God, there's giants there. I know, but I promise you this land. See, the promise to the nation of Israel was, I'm going to give you that land. The nation of Israel said, oh, there's giants in that land. I'm not sure we can do that. God's response to that statement is, trust me. Trust me. You ever tried to talk your kid into, remember when they were little kids and they wanted to jump and you were going to catch them and, come on, jump, I'm going to catch you. Come on, jump, I'm going to, no, daddy, you're going to drop me. Come on, jump. No, no, if you don't jump, I'm going to spank you. Here we go, here we go, there they go, right there. But they, and because I knew I was going to catch them, God said, I'm going to give you this promise. This promise you can trust because you can trust me. Why do you trust the promises of God? Because we trust God himself. Okay? So the promises are always based on the character of the promiser. So in Joshua chapter 1, verse number 3, he says, I'm going to give you this land. Now, what does faith do? Faith takes God at his word. And if I am going to operate victoriously in my Christian life, I have got to take God at his word. Now, preacher, what does that mean? All right. It was up to Israel to believe and act and take the promise by faith. All right. Let's not get confused on what faith is, because I think sometimes we get confused on faith is. This is not a statement of faith. Pastor, I don't know. I just know that everything's going to work out. Everything's going to work out is not a statement of faith. Most of the time people just say, well, God's just going to do it. God's just going to, everything's just going to work out, Pastor. I put this on my paper. Faith is not passive, it's active. A lot of times in our Christian lives, I think we understand who God is. We understand what God is promising us, but we never exercise faith in God's word. What we do is we just kind of take this position, well, everything's going to work out. I know that my family's going to come to know the Lord. Well, they're never going to come to know the Lord if we don't witness to them. Or if we don't pray for them, well, I know that God's just going to meet my every need. Well, if I don't tithe or give, God's not going to meet your need. Well, I just know that this relationship is going to work. Well, if you have aught with your brother, the relationship's not going to work out. We get this little bit of mindset that we're to sit on our blessed assurance in our hands, and faith is just letting God handle everything. Well, I can disprove that by verse number 3. Go to verse number 3. Every blessed assurance that you're sitting on, God's just going to work it out. Is that what your Bible says? No. Every place that the sole of your foot does what? Shall tread. So the nation of Israel was given the promise. God had victory for them. God had it all. But they had to exercise faith in what God had. So they had to take their foot and walk where those giants were. And every place that they put the sole of their foot, God would give them the land. Did God give them the land because they were getting that victory, they were fighting those giants? No. God gave them the land because they were walking in faith, not by sight. It was pleasing unto God, and God was doing the victory. God was knocking down the walls. God was giving them all of that. God was, and all they had to do was exercise faith. Okay, I'm following the Lord because he told me to go over there. And that is the same thing for you and I. So we can't just sit back. Faith is active. It's aggressive. It's following what God says. It's receiving what God says. It's believing in God. It's acting upon God. It's trusting God. It's not just sitting over here and just thinking, well, everything's going to work out. And God's people said, all right. So we're put to that. And if I'm going to see victory in my spiritual life, I must take God at his word. And the modus operandi in the Christian life is the principle of faith. When that faith is tied to God's word. Second thing you need to know, another truth about victory. And this goes for courage. Nothing can stop victory when faith is put in action. Nothing can stop faith or victory when faith is put into action. Look at verse number 5, chapter number 1. He says, there shall not, finish, say those two words, any man, come on, verse 5, chapter 1. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. I put on here, nothing can stop God's working when faith is operating in his people. Boy, that's powerful. And that's fantastic. You see, God has already purchased victory for us. God has a victorious life for us. Doesn't mean it's easy, but he has those things for us. And it feels like we just get bumped off track all the time. But we need to realize that when I'm operating by faith, nothing can defeat my God. Nothing. Nothing. So I need to realize that, yes, there are giants in my life. Yes, there are pitfalls in my life. Yes, there are hardships there. Yes, there are difficulties there. But I'm following the Lord. And he said nothing's too hard for him. And God told Joshua, now Joshua, when you get over there, there's not any man. Do you not think that he had giants in mind when he said that? Joshua, you remember them giants? I'm telling you, there ain't any man. There ain't any man that's going to be able to stand up against you. Why? Because your faith is in me. And nothing can stop me when you are operating by faith. I think this truth is illustrated in the life of Rahab. And I won't take the time. But in Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, you understand when they get to the city of Jericho, she even tells them, our hearts are already faint within us. We've heard about what God is doing. I wrote this on my paper and I want to say it to you. Do you know that the devil already knows what victory God has provided for his people? I'm going to say that again. Do you know that God already knows what victory he has? The devil already knows what victory God has for his people? And the devil also knows that when I'm following the Lord by faith, then Hebrews chapter 11 begins to unfold in my life, and there's nothing that God can't accomplish. There's nothing that God can't do. And so the devil, realizing that he can't stop that, turns his bullseye on you and I. And so the first thing he tries to do is he tries to get us from operating by faith. And so he'll come after you and make statements like you can't trust the Lord or he's going to let you down. And so he knows what God has done in Christ. He knows the victory that's prepared for us. And so in our Christian life, he's all the time hitting us with doubt and fear and question and intimidation, trying to get us to stop from following the Lord by faith. My friend, listen, when you operate by faith and you put your trust in the word of God and you go forward in the power of his spirit, there is nothing that can stand against God's people. I hope you believe that. I hope you believe that. Number three, you better understand this about the Christian life. Fleshly principles do not work in the spirit-filled life. Fleshly principles do not work in the spirit-filled life. Now, there was the reason Moses couldn't go over into the land, you know, that he struck the rock when God told him not to strike the rock. But there's a deeper spiritual application there. Moses is the lawgiver. Moses could not go into the spirit-filled life because the law couldn't go into that position. The law found its culminate, its inability to bring life. The letter of the law killeth, the spirit giveth life. And so Moses, as an application or illustration of that, couldn't go into the land of Canaan. Fleshly principles will not work in the spirit-filled life. Let me give you a beautiful demonstration of this. Look at verse number 6, chapter number 1. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Now, my friends, that word inheritance is the theme of victory. God said, now, Joshua, be strong. You are going to have victory over here. You are going to divide the land. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to provide this victory. If you'll follow me and step and walk according as I command, I'm going to give you the victory that God has. But Joshua, look at verse number 7. Only be thou strong and courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Now this next part's great. Turn not from it. From what? The word of God, the law which God had given to Moses. Turn not from it to the right, what's the word? Hand, or to the left. Okay? Now, the point is, fleshly principles will not work in the spirit-filled life. What works in the spirit-filled life is faith. Faith comes by God's word. Joshua, when you get into the land, follow me by faith and you'll divide the land. Keep your eye on the word of God and be strong in that, and turn not to the right hand or to the left. What is that? That's the fleshly ability of man. In the Bible, when you read the word right hand, it's always talking about power. Joshua, do not trust your own power in the land. Huge application for us spiritually. So many times in our victory, in our Christian walk and in our Christian life, we go through there. God has promised victory for us, but we see giants, we see pitfalls, we see those things, and we're not sure that we can clearly see faith, and we begin to question and doubt. And so the first thing we do is we look to our right hand. What's that mean? We look to our own strength, our own power, our own ability, and our own understanding. And we try to provide by our flesh victory in the spirit-filled life. Now, if you know anything, the flesh does not work in our Christian life. It defeats us. So we get, he said, Joshua, don't look to your right hand. That's your power, Joshua. Lean not to thine own understanding. Don't trust your arm. Don't let that left hand come in and kind of help either. Fleshly principles, our own ability, doesn't work in the Christian life. You know, I never forget, and my father-in-law is here, so I got to be careful about my illustrations. I don't want him to think that. I was struggling with something as a young man that really had a grip over me, really had a grip over me. And it wasn't proper before the Lord. And I had tried in my own ability to get victory over this. I did things, and I tried to build walls, and I tried to do these kind of things, and I tried to protect myself. And I know for sure at that time in my life, I didn't understand what it was to walk with the Lord. And I knew I was trusting my right arm or my own understanding. And I was so frustrated. I would have a day or two of victory, then I would be back, or I would have a week of this, or I would destroy stuff, and then I would be and have nothing there, and then go out and find something, and I just couldn't get victory over what that was. Until one day somebody introduced me that when Jesus Christ purchased me, he cleansed me from all my sin. He is my life, my strength. He's my deliverer. Somebody introduced me to the freedom that was in Christ, to the power of deliverance that was in the Lord. And I began to understand what it was when, and he said in Galatians, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not, anybody know? fulfill the lust of the flesh. I was trying not to fulfill that with my own right arm, and I was so stinking frustrated. It wasn't until I learned to walk in the Spirit that God gave me great victory and tremendous peace, and I was able to see what that's. And I think that happens to a lot of us. We're out here, and we're trying to do it by our own right arm, and we're so frustrated, we're so tired, we're so burdened, we're so defeated. We don't understand that Christ already has victory for us if we'll just trust Him. Amen. Be Spirit-filled. Okay, fleshly principles do not work in a Spirit-filled life. Number four, you need to know the secret of victory. It's found in verse number 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, that's the only time in the Bible you find that phrase, good success. What is the secret of victory in my Christian life? My friend, the secret of victory is the Word of God. There is no victory without being in the Word of God. None. So you write Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 to 3 down. You study that. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. It goes on to describe how he'll be planted by a tree and giving rivers of yielding fruit unto that. Victory. If I'm going to see victory in my Christian life, I have got to be in the Word of God, having worship time and reading time and meditation time upon the Word of God. You know, I kind of got to a point in my life where I wanted to know what God says about everything in my life. I want to know what God says about it. You know, if I come across something in my life and I've got a decision to make, I want to know what God says about it. If I'm battling something, I want to know what God says about it. The Word of God, Joshua, stay in the Word of God. That will be thy victory. And by the way, let me just show you one phrase here that I think you better circle these two words. For then thou shalt make, you see those two words, thy way. I got beside my Bible there, thy way, continuous victory. I promise you that your victory in your Christian life ebbs and flows with how much you're in God's Word. Amen. I promise you. If you're not eating from God's Word, you're getting your lunch eaten every single day. If I'm not in God's Word builds faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. He said, Joshua, when you go in there, don't be all consumed. Be in the Word of God. The secret for victory is being in the Word of God. Now, number five. Not only was the modus operandi by faith, I must operate by the principle of faith. I better realize that nothing can stop victory when faith is in action. Fleshly principles do not work in the Spirit-filled life. The secret of victory is in the Word of God, meditating that Word day and night, continually there, letting it build in my life faith. And then number five, I got this down. It takes courage. Takes courage. Takes courage. Look at verse number 11 of chapter number 1. Verse 10 says, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host. Command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go and to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Can you imagine after 40 years, they're sitting on the brink of that river, which was probably overflowing his banks. They've got this report of these 10 spies in their mind. All they can see is giants and walled cities and this huge river there. And they've got 40 years of wilderness and defeat and all that. Joshua says, we're going over here. And present this before him. Look at verse number 16. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will think about. What's it say? We will what? We will do. Whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. Listen, it does take courage to go by faith. I put this down, and I like this phrase. It demands a will to go forward. It demands a will to go forward. I ask you, I want you to think about this. Do you have the will to receive the victory God has for you in your Christian life. You know, sometimes I think we get to a place where we just set aside and think, you know, I'm just going to sit right here. Yeah, I got this little patch of green grass. I've got this little situation here. I'm safe right here. Pastor, I just don't know that I want to go any further trusting the Lord. I think I'll just sit right here. And I think sometimes that we set aside our will to go forward and we miss out on what God has for us. By the way, let me say this because I think it'll help you. Never, ever, ever will there ever exist for you another side of the fence where there's green grass. And by that I mean this. If you're one of those people who are searching for some big place where you can take a deep breath and say, I finally don't have to go by faith anymore, God ain't gonna let that happen. I think that if we're not careful, we look for those places in our lives where we don't have to go by faith. Maybe we don't want to be in God's word. Maybe we've suffered some defeats over there. Maybe we were a little bit tired. And so we just think, oh man, I just wish I could get a little bit moment where I didn't feel this draw in my spirit to go by faith. I just need a break, Pastor. I just need a place where everything will be okay and I can just rest. Let me tell you something. You rest in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You rest in the word of God. You rest in, we get this, I think we've lost our courage. Now, I'm not the most courageous man in the world, I'll be honest with you. There are many times that I send Beverly to check the door at night when I hear a noise. There are many times. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Go see what it is. You go, you're the man. But I don't want to surrender my courage to follow the Lord. I think sometimes that we just think it's too dangerous, it's too hard. Pastor, I'm just going to stay right here. I want to belong to a courageous church, don't you?
Amen.
I do. I want to fellowship with courageous people. That doesn't mean that we're idiotic. That doesn't mean that we run ahead of God. That doesn't mean we're foolish. I just know in my own heart, when I have God's word on something, and God is drawing me by my spirit to follow him by faith, I want to say, here am I, Lord. Here am I, Lord. And go forward into that victory. I'm tired. Do you ever get disappointed with yourself? Am I the only person that prays, Lord, here I am again. Lord, I know you don't remember yesterday, but I remember yesterday, God. I was here yesterday. Lord, I don't want to come back here tomorrow. Lord, will you help me? I want that courageous spirit to trust the Lord. I believe we have it in our church, and I'm thankful for it. I want us all to have it. Receiving, taking God at his word. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Shall we pray?